What's up? What's up, everybody? It's Pastor B, and you're hanging out with me live in the Lion's Den. This is going to be an exciting one. Stay tuned. So tonight we're talking about flirting with potential. Our question of the day, what is the most important question to ask on a first date? And I was just telling you about my wonderful first date. I was preparing to be courting this young lady I had met while I was in school. You know, she was kind of on a brother, you know. I'm just messing with her because she's on tonight. But I wanted to let her know that we had passed the flirting stage, all right? I wanted her to know that we had passed the flirting stage. And so I said to myself, I got to take her out to some place, to a real nice place. The problem is that when you're a sophomore in college, I hadn't done a lot of research on the prices that I was taking her to. I had asked one of my friends, I said, man, I want to take her somewhere nice. You know, we done flirting. I want her to know that I'm serious about her. And so the whole reason that I even decided to take her to this particular restaurant is because it was a grand gesture to let her know where we were. We were no longer just being friendly with one another. We were no longer just smiling and giggling at each other. We were no longer just calling each other, every now and then and to have a conversation. I needed her to know that I was serious about her. And so I said, I'm going to take her to P.F. Chang's. Problem is, guys, I had never been to P.F. Chang's. The year is probably like 05, right? I had never been to P.F. Chang's. I didn't know anything about P.F. Chang's. I hadn't seen a menu. I didn't even do any good research. Now, looking back on it, a brother probably could have pulled it up online. I don't know. Did they have Google back then? That was 14 years ago. You guys tell me. I guess they did. It feels like ages ago. But I didn't do any research. I showed up. I'm not going to tell y'all. It's too much information to tell y'all how much money I had in my pocket. Let's just say I didn't have enough money in my pocket, okay? And so when I got there, you can imagine my surprise when I opened up the menu and discovered that this first date was quickly turning into something that I had not anticipated because I didn't have the ends or the means to satisfy the check that was going to come at the end of the date. And so being presumptuous, you know, I'm from New York, and so you can't let them see you sweat. And so I got to do some of the things I saw on television. I said, I'm going to order. I didn't ask her what she wanted. I looked over the menu. We talked about what looked good. And I said, I'm going to order. The reason I'm going to order is because I know what I have enough money for. And I said, and we're going to share. You know, I'm not that hungry, so we're going to share. And so, you know, the restaurant, the waiter is doing everything that they're supposed to do. All right. They offering you the appetizer. They want you. No, do you want something to drink? Sir, do you want a soda? You sure you don't want a soda? No, I said I want water with lemon. Amen. So, amen. So y'all know I was working on a budget and I was at P.F. Chang's and I didn't know how I was going to get out of this mess. How in the world am I going to afford this check when it comes? All right. So we ordered off the menu. I didn't order no appetizers. She probably wanted an appetizer, but the way that I had phrased and framed the conversation, I don't know if she knew that I wasn't working with much, but we were just trying to figure this thing out. I was just trying to get through. God, if you get a brother through this first date, I don't know if we're going to have a second one, but just get a brother through this first one. Well, guys, listen, y'all can call it spiritual. You can call it whatever you want. I had just enough money, all right? I didn't have to ask her for, you know, a couple dollars to satisfy the bill. When the bill came, a brother was sweating. I was relieved. I hurried up and gave the brother. Now, let me just tell y'all, I believe in tipping, but the waiter did not get a tip that day. It didn't matter if they would have rolled out the red carpet, gave us free lobster. There was just enough funds to get by. Now, let me tell you something. She told me later on, she revealed to me that she kind of knew that a brother didn't have what he presented that he had. Amen. She knew that, But she did not let that impede upon her ability to engage me for who I am. Somebody would say, okay, she recognized that the gesture. She said, okay, he meant well. You know, he didn't do the research. He didn't have enough money, but she didn't hold that against me. She said he meant well. Somebody else would argue that she saw my potential. Now, I'm not rich. Amen. But I'm not where I was. Amen. No, you know what? I am rich. You know, the scripture says you speak those things that are not. I heard Mother Adele kind of pull on me. You say what you have. Amen. Speak those things that are not as though they were. So, but the point is, I'm not where I was in 05. I can eat that P.F. Chang's comfortably. All right. And so, but she saw my potential. She stayed with me because I had potential. You know, potential is this thing that it's you've got something to work with. You've got something to work with. You know what I discovered about God? And I'm going to go spiritual on y'all for just a moment. And I promise I won't be long tonight. I promise you, I don't have much to say to you tonight. I just want you to understand this concept. You know, all throughout scripture, we live in a day and age that only wants to invest in final products. I talk to singles all the time. I counsel. I've even in my young age, believe it or not, I've counseled married couples and counseled those who are engaged and preparing for marriage. And one of the things in this age, in this day and age that we suffer from is the ability to identify potential. Everyone wants a finished product. Everybody wants it. They want it when it's already complete. No one wants to invest in potential. Am I preaching already? We live in a day and age where you've already got to have the money. You've already got to have the house. You've already got to have the car. You've already got to have the package. No one has an eye for potential. And I'm here to tell you that some of the individuals that make out the greatest are the individuals that recognize potential. I invest in stocks. I invest in the stock market. And one of the things that you've got to have the ability to do is, listen, Google, the price per share is already high. Amazon, the price per share is already high. Netflix, you know, somewhere in the middle. But you've got to have the ability, you got to do enough research to recognize a company that has potential. And when you invest in potential, think about the individuals who invested in Google when it had potential, who invested in Amazon when it had potential, who invested in Facebook when it had potential. I'm not here to give out stock tips tonight, but I'm here to get you to understand the power of potential. You know, one of the things, if you study the Bible, God is always investing in individuals who have potential. You never see throughout the scripture where he goes and he finds somebody who's already actively just doing, you know, they're already on the mountaintop. Moses is already, you know, pointing to the Red Sea and walking the children of Israel through it. David's already slaying giants. Paul's already preaching the gospel all over. Peter's already walking on water. God is always finding individuals with potential. His ability to invest in potential is what attributes to the payoff. But far too often, we don't understand the power of potential. I'm here to tell you there are individuals that you have overlooked. One of the things I talk about in my book, and I want you to get it when I finish it. All right, y'all pray for me. I'm in the tail end of finishing our second book. Now, one of the things that I talk about is that from a kid, I've always been attracted to potential. Forget the person who has it all and who already comes out with all the glitz and the glamour. Do you have enough insight? Do you have enough discernment to see someone's potential? An underdog, someone who everyone else has overlooked, but he sees your potential. For some of you tonight, the only reason you're here today is because God saw your potential. John 3:16 says, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We just came out of the Easter season, the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, was not based off of what you have already accomplished, what you have already done, what you have already walked in. It was based off of your potential. Grace saw your potential. If I don't say another thing tonight, and I didn't even mean to go that direction, but the Holy Spirit interrupted our lives in the night because grace saw your potential. And sometimes potential has to be enough for you to invest. Potential has to be enough for you to invest. What we all share in common tonight as I come to a close is we all have potential. We all have potential. You have the same potential as that millionaire, that billionaire, that trillionaire. We have all been given God-given potential, but we're flirting with it. Remember that I told you that I wanted her to know that I was serious, so I wanted to take a step. See, flirting is you're doing it for the amusement, but your intentions are not serious. And far too often, we find ourselves flirting with our potential, going through the motions, just for the sake of going through the motions, doing it because we don't have anything else to do, right? We're serious about it today, but tomorrow, we're not that serious about it. We're far too often satisfied with the thought of just flirting with our shall be, flirting with our purpose and our destiny, not really committing to it, not really actively identifying the steps that we become serious about it. Let me tell you something. God never flirts with your purpose. He doesn't just flirt with your purpose. He is committed to you actively unearthing what he has placed on the inside of you. And I want to let you know, you don't have time to flirt with your purpose. You don't have time to flirt with your potential. It's time for you to commit. That's a bad word, I know. Commitment. It's time for you to commit to your potential. So first of all, you have to identify your potential. You have to identify the fact that you have something. And sometimes we're so busy comparing what we have to what someone else has that we have already dismissed our potential. You know, the parable that Jesus tells about those who he gives the talents to is so telling of Jesus's character, because he is, when he talks about that master who has this reckoning conversation with this dude who decides to bury his talent? Oh, because he buries it based off the fact that he doesn't have what the other individuals have. And so he's not committed to actively using, utilizing, or being faithful with what he's been given. He says, I'm going to flirt with it. I'm going to bury it. I'm going to play with it. In other words, I'm just playing. Hashtag just playing. For many of us tonight, we've been playing with our potential. We are getting ready to enter 5 months, the fifth month of this year, 2019, and we're still flirting. How do I know? Because we haven't actively taken the steps. If we're still going up and down, if you're still quitting the day and getting back on it tomorrow, you're still flirting with it. Flirting with your potential. But when you become serious about your potential, that when you become serious, that means you got to step up your game. There's a gesture that is required. There's something that you do, that you actively do to show that I'm now committed to this thing. I'm serious about this thing. You know, that's why giving is such an important thing, because when you give or you invest, the scripture talks about where your treasure is, your heart is there also. It's the mechanism by which God sees our commitment to him. Right? And so he uses something, not that he values, but that you value, as a commitment device to see if you're serious about it, to see your level of commitment. And tonight, I just want to ask you, are you serious? I don't know what you've been called to do, but I sense, even as I was preparing tonight to share with you all, I sense that you all know that you possess something, but you've been satisfied with flirting with it. If you're still putting it off until tomorrow, you're flirting with it. If you're still saying I'm going to do it next month, I'll maybe try again next year, you're flirting with it. I'm not here to fuss with you. I'm just here to identify when you're just flirting with it. Because when you're serious about it, there starts to be, you begin to actively take steps that are a sign of your commitment. And if you're just flirting, then you've got to be okay. You've got to be okay with the results of just flirting, that there'll never be any fruit. Can I say that again? There's no fruit that comes from flirting. There's no fruit that comes from flirting. Flirting is fruitless. In other words, it does not produce in your life. If anything's ever going to produce in your life, you've got to commit to it. You've got to begin actively taking the steps that say, I'm serious about this. Hey, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Be sure to keep up with all the exciting things that are happening by following us online. Connect with us on Twitter at Pastor B. Harris, on Instagram at Pastor B. Harris, on our Facebook page at Brandon J. Harris Ministries, and by visiting the website, bjharrisministries.com. And remember, why do life alone when we can do life together? I'll see you next time.